God has spoken, let the church say amen.
One more time. Let the church
say amen.
I don't know. I think that was me. Sorry about that. Thank you all. You know, I always talk about how you're smiling and joyful and you bring us into the presence. But today especially, you were singing with such conviction. You're not just singing words. You're singing what you believe. And we get caught up in that. You bring us into that presence. Thank you so very much. That is a great blessing to be able to be brought into the presence of God through the gift of your music. Thank you. And you musicians as well. Thank you, all three of you, very much. I appreciate that. So John is a minister serving in California. Anybody here from California? I know we don't have anybody from California. Nobody would ever want to live in California. Everybody wants to leave California. Nobody ever wants to go to California. It's a joke. I'm looking at our Californiaites and making.
I didn't notice that.
That's all right. It's okay. All right. So anyway, so John is serving a church in California. His wife has a birthday gift. They're going to go up in a hot air balloon. All right, have a hot air balloon ride there in California. So they go to the field, you know, sun is coming up. It's a crisp, clear, cloudless day. Another couple is joining them, just the four of them and the pilot. And they climb into the little basket. They introduce themselves, you know, what do you do, what do you do, you know. And off they go up into the air. And like I said, it's a crisp, clear, cloudless day. They can see everything from the canyons all the way to the Pacific Ocean. It is just wonderful. It is inspiring. It is beautiful. It is majestic. And John discovered it is fearful. Fearful. You see, he thought when they got in the basket that the basket would be about chest high. But the basket barely came to his knees. All of a sudden, he was aware that one little lurch and everybody could just fall right out of the basket onto the ground. And so he's trying to grip with strong determination that he's going to enjoy this time. And with grim determination and white knuckles, he holds onto the rope and he decides to look at his wife and companions, hoping to draw some encouragement. Only to find out that they are every bit as afraid as he is. And he knows that his wife likes horses, and he sees the horse ranch down below, and he says, "Nancy, there's horses down there." And she goes, "Yes, I see them." Just rolling her eyes inside, "I see them, I see them." You know, and they're just going up higher and higher, and John's looking for comfort. He's looking for encouragement, so he decides, "I think I'll get to know the pilot. I want to hear this pilot tell me how his great-great-grandfather invented the hot air balloon. I want to hear that he was born on a hot air balloon. I want to hear that NASA is contracting with him to take hot air balloons all the way up into the stratosphere. This is what I want to hear," he said. "I want to hear this from this guy." And he says, "I knew I was in trouble when I asked him how long he'd been flying balloons." And he said, "Well, dude, you don't want to hear your pilot say, 'Dude.'" "Dude," he says, I'll be honest with you. I mostly just surf. I don't really have a job." He says, "But the other night, I got drunk driving my pickup truck, badly injured my brother, and I need to make some quick cash. So that's what I'm doing here." And he says, "And on the way down, it may get a little bumpy because I've never been in this balloon before, and I'm not sure how it's going to handle the descent." At which time, John's wife looks at him and says, "You mean to tell me we are 1,000 feet above the ground, piloted by somebody who got drunk, crashed his truck, badly injured his brother, and has never been in this particular balloon before?" And the other wife looked at John and said, "You're a minister. Do something." He said, "So I took up an offering." When you're in fearful times, you want to be able to trust the pilot. You want to trust in the pilot's character and competency. You want to be able to trust the pilot. And we, all of us are on a hot air balloon. We are on the planet Earth, traversing through the universe. And there are times when the ride gets a little bit choppy. Yes, it can be inspiring. Yes, it can be awesome. Yes, it can be majestic. Yes, it can be beautiful. But there are times, are there not, when it is fearful? And we want to be able to look to our pilot and be filled with confidence that everything is going to be okay. Which is why we read the word, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Some of us are afraid of heights. Anybody here afraid of heights? Some of us are afraid of tight places. Some of us are afraid of dark places. Some of us are afraid of spiders, snakes. Some of us have financial fears and worries, health fears, worries, fear of failure. Anybody there? No, just me? All right. Fear of success. Fear of commitment. Some of you are afraid to raise your hand. Fear of commitment. Fear of disappointment. Fear for family, friends, country. We get worried, we get anxious, we become like children, afraid of the dark. But our monsters are not in our closets, and our monsters are not under our beds. Our monsters are in the world and at work. Our monsters are in our communities and in our country. And fear can compromise our ability. Fear can suck the life right out of us. When children are afraid of the dark, what do? We give them a little nightlight, don't we? Turn the light on the hall or something, some little bit of light to give them encouragement, to let them know that they don't have to be afraid. We may not be afraid of the physical dark, but all of us have had times when we've been in dark places, fearful and needing a light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Did you know that this is the only place in the entire Old Testament where God is called my light? The word is the light, lamp unto our feet, light unto our... But the only place in the entire Old Testament that God is called my light is here, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light. There are times when we need help. Despair, anxiety, worry, fear, times of darkness. We cannot see the end of the road. We just need to see the next step. We just need that assurance. And looking to God reminds us of that. When we're afraid, to remember that God is always present, always with us, an ever-present help in our times of need. Romans 8 reminds us, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We read the scriptures. We study the scriptures. We discover God's got a track record. God was with Noah. God was with Moses. God was with Abraham. God was with David. There have been giants slain. And when we start reading and hearing about other people's stories, we can become a little bit encouraged because all of a sudden we begin to remember there was a time in our lives when we were pretty wrapped up in darkness and God came through for us. All of a sudden, we remember there was this giant that we didn't think we were ever going to get past. And yet, through God's grace, we did. There was an obstacle that we thought for sure we'd never overcome. And God, we get reminded of how God has worked in our lives. And we get encouragement. And we get hope. We remember how God has been our helper, has never abandoned us, and is not leaving us now. God gave us fear to alert us to danger. God gave us fear to alert us to an opportunity in which we can practice our faith, put our faith in action, giving him again an opportunity to remember that he is always with us. Fearful times may be a struggle with us, but these are times also of opportunities. And every time we face fear with faith, we're going to grow stronger. Our track record becomes a little bit longer. Pretending not to be afraid is not helpful. Trusting in the one who is never afraid is. God's strength brings us hope. Maybe it's like when you're watching, maybe if you're watching a sporting event, all right, and the game has already been played, but you don't know how it turned out. And you got that DVR thing, you know, that allows you to replay the game. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And you have that. And you're watching the game, and you're watching the game with a friend, and it's not looking good. And not looking good at all, okay? Your team is down. They're getting slaughtered on the field, on the court. It's not looking good, and you're getting a little bit fearful. You're getting anxious. You're getting worried. You're concerned about it. You may be getting a little bit angry, as if the team's losing, just to piss you off. I mean, you're just wrapped up in what's going on, and you notice your friend. And your friend is watching intently, but does not seem to be nearly as involved, not nearly as intensely upset as you are. And why is that? Because he's looked ahead, and he knows the final score. He knows how the game is going to end. See, as Christians, we know how the game is going to end. The victory's already been won. We've already got the victory. We're just living through the times right now. And whether we're going to be victorious with this challenge or not, sometimes we don't know. Anybody here ever learned from failure? I'm telling you. You've heard me say it a lot of times. I know all about failure. All right? I've been wrong so many. I've got the grades to prove it. How many of you got grades to prove you've been wrong? I got all kinds of grades to prove I've been wrong. I don't have straight A's. I don't have all the no. Oh, I learned from failure. We face failure, we face fear. Every day we face fear. It's the fear that we're not going to measure up. The fear that we cannot get free from our past. The fear that we can't work through a conflict. The fear that we are never going to improve. The fear that our addictions are too strong. The fear that somehow we're going to let God down. You cannot let God down. You cannot let God down. God loves you so, so very, very much. He claims you as his every single day. Now, there may be times when you think you've let God down. God, I really messed that up. And God's going to say, okay. You've got a track record of doing that. Let's try it again. He will always say that. Let's try it again. All the time. Let's try it again. He's like the great wave maker at the ocean. You get on a surfboard, you fall off. Here comes another wave, another chance, another opportunity. You get another chance with God all the time. We need to remember that we are in relationship with a God who is awesome. Relationship with a God who loves us all the time. Relationship with a God who forgives us and empowers us. A God who will guide us and be with us. Now, to feel close to God requires practice. You got to believe in it. You got to practice it every single day. Like the story I told with Eric and Johnny. The fish. God is at work. God is at home. God is in that challenge. God is with you when you're so afraid you don't know how to put one foot in front of the other. God is with you all the time. Above you, below you, in front of you, behind you, either side. Every time you breathe in a breath of God. You breathe in the Spirit of God. I realize sometimes a nightlight may not seem very bright, but all we need is enough light to get us through the night. Because in the morning, the sun is going to rise and the shadows are going to dispel. And we're going to know that everything is going to be all right because the Lord is our light and our salvation. Amen.